Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. You'll be glad to know Billy Brim's back with us today. Thank you, Billy, for coming.
Bless the Lord.
We're excited to
My
hear.
My blessing. And what we're doing all this week, and we're going to do it even into next week, we're going to watch the nations. Jesus said, if you want to know when I'm coming, you watch the fig tree. That's Israel, a nation. And you watch all the trees. Those are the nations of Bible prophecy.
So we'll be talking about prophetic things.
We're going to talk about prophetic things. We're going to talk about where the nations came from, where they're going. And we're going to zero in on one nation. And that nation is one that's in the news. Oh, my goodness. We have to make these programs early. And every time I do one, especially on Iran, and that's the one we're watching, I wonder what in the world will have happened by the time this program is shown.
It's true.
And so, but we know one thing, it'll still be in the news because the Bible says it's in the news. Iran, we're going to look at its beginnings today, is in the news right up till the time of the last battles before Jesus comes, before the Messiah comes. And so where does it begin? Well, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to begin with the Ark. You know, Gloria, it's an interesting thing because science has discovered we all came from one mother. And they call her Eve, but you know, they could have called her Mrs. Noah because we all came from Noah and his wife. So we all came from Mrs. Noah. And
we have a great heritage.
We have a great heritage. And because, thank God, you know, I got this little granddaughter, Hannah. She travels with me. And when she was little, she heard that some of the angels rebelled against God. And so she knows that she's got guardian angels. And she said, Mimi, sometimes I thank God that my angels didn't rebel against him.
Well, that's a good thought.
That's a good thought.
Me too.
And so they're in the bunch that didn't rebel. And Noah is in the bunch that didn't rebel. Oh, my goodness. The whole earth had become corrupted.
I mean, think about being down. God was down to one very small family.
Don't you think Satan thought he'd won?
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Because he's the one that tempted the world into all that corruption and sin.
But God.
And he thought, I got him. I mean, it's down to one family.
I'll be the big guy now.
So he's God always the one at work. That's what you got to keep in mind. We can't see into that realm. But God has statements that he's made about mankind, statements that he's made about Israel, statements that he's made about all these things. And Satan tries to stop them from coming to pass. He said that the church is going to be glorious. So Satan just tries his best to keep us in schisms and divisions so that we can't have glory. And for Israel, they're small in number. God has said things about them. He just tries to kill them all. So all the time he's working against...
I'm sure he's frustrated.
He's frustrated. He's working against the Word of God. God has said when he created man that man shall have dominion over the works of my hands. And that makes Satan furious because he used to be Lucifer.
That's what he wants.
He wants dominion. And he used to be Lucifer and he used to have a kingdom and he lost it all.
He was beautiful.
So he hates this man that now has God's heart. So he's corrupted the earth. Even its animal life was corrupted, had to be destroyed. And love brought the flood. Lester Sunrall made this statement. What a treasure was carried in the ark that saved Noah, his three sons.
It was humanity.
It was humanity. And it was mankind's knowledge of God. Only that family had it.
Mm-hmm. One
family
saved humanity.
Noah and his family then became the only humans on the planet Earth when the ark landed. Noah's sons were Shem.
So we have to be descendants of Noah.
We are.
This is our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-
actually his grandfather. But Noah's sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And when they came out of that ark, I mean, what had they seen? They had seen God and what God said come to pass. And they had respect for him when they got off that boat. They knew the true God and worshiped him. They heard the voice of God. They witnessed the birth of the rainbow. And they heard God put it, say that he'll never destroy earth again with water. They stood at Noah's altar.
They were in a pressurized vehicle.
Yes. They stood there when Noah heard God speak to them and say that there would be a promise of perpetual seed time and harvest. They also remembered the wickedness of the people who had brought judgment on the earth. And they heard the blessing. They heard the blessing that Ken is preaching about. We're going to talk about that later. The blessing.
To go what Noah and his group went through would put the fear of God in you.
It put the fear of God in
them. There wasn't anybody left.
No one left.
They were it.
They were it. And they heard the blessing. Now, in Genesis chapter 10.
They heard the blessing.
Right.
That's right.
They're off the boat. I think we need to turn there to that blessing right now. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. Ken loves to read this.
Genesis 9, 1, okay.
And they're off the boat. And this family of eight is hearing these words. Genesis 9, 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, increase in every way.
He blessed them, in other words.
He blessed them. And Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
That was a big job. Think about it.
Whoa.
Get busy.
They didn't see all the planet like we do today, but they saw a big part of it.
Yeah.
And they're told by God, now you fill it up. Well, if you're going to fill up the earth, let's don't go there right now. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 10. So they got off the boat, and from them came the nations. Jesus said, watch the nations, the 70 foundational nations are named in Genesis chapter 10 as they came from Shem, Ham, and Japhet. So he starts with Japhet. And
what verse are you on?
This is chapter 10. Let's look at Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And unto them were sons born after the flood. And it starts out with Japhet. And it said, what do people say in English? Japhet or something, Japhet or something, but it's Japhet. And it comes from the Hebrew word beautiful, Yafe.
Really? I didn't know that.
And the sons of Japhet were, and it names Gomer and Magog and Madai and Yavan and Tubal and Meshach and Tiras. And so it starts out with those nations. We know who some of those nations are today. And even Yavan, for instance, is Greece. And then we see some Russian names in there. And we see some like German. Now, then it goes going to go down to the sons of Ham in verse 6. And down in 21, it's going to begin. Verse 21, we're going to begin with the sons of Shem. Unto Shem, also the father of all the children of Eber. E-B-E-R. Shem means name. That is the name. And now we're on page 4 right here. So, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japhet the elder, even to him were children born. Eber, let's look at that. Shem, and then it mentions that Shem is the father of all the children of Eber. In Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, B and V are the same letter. And they call it Bet and Vet. Now, we say in English, we say Abraham. In Israel, they say Avraham. They give it the V sound.
Avraham.
So, unto Shem, the father of all the children of Eber. Eber is where we get the name Hebrew. And you can see that there with us, we have the B sound in Hebrew. So, all the Hebrews came from him. They would say the Ivrit came from him. Unto Shem, also the father of all the children of Eber, or the Hebrews, were sons born. And in verse 10, 22, it says, the children of Shem, and it names them, Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. So the first one's name is Elam. That is, we're going to be tracing Iran all through the Bible. Because look at the history they got. They got a history from getting off the boat. And they have the name Elam. They're the Bible Elamites, we say. Unto him was born Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. And Arphaxad, verse 24, begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. Elam became a tribe, built cities. Now that's Iran. Elam became a tribe, built cities, ultimately vanquished Babylon, and became the Persian Empire. So all the way back to getting off the boat, and Shem having a son named Elam, I think he's his oldest son, there you find the beginning of Iran in the Bible. So that's why we can trace a long Bible history on Iran. Elam, or Iran, became a tribe, built cities, ultimately vanquished Babylon, and became the Persian Empire. Mm,
interesting, isn't it?
Iran's history is traceable in the Bible through Elam. Now, he was older than his brother Arphaxad. We don't know when Arphaxad came in the line, but he was older than his brother, at least by 1 year, 2 years. And it is from Arphaxad's line that Abraham comes.
Really?
Uh-huh. And Abraham comes 10 generations from Noah's flood. So the 10 generations from Noah to Abraham witnessed many things. Now, got off the boat. Everybody's got knowledge of God. Gets down to Abraham. Something different has happened. Only in 10 generations. You know, Gloria, you'd think, well, that's a long time, 10 generations. I got to adding this up. I myself and my family know 7 generations. I've known them.
You can trace back 7 generations.
Not just trace back. I knew them. I knew my great-grandmothers. I knew my grandparents.
I knew my great-grandmother.
Did you know your great-grandmother? Okay, there you
go. Her name was Booby.
All right. Then there you are. Yeah. And there you've got
Booby and Papa Dave.
Papa Dave. There you got your great-grandparents. Then you got your grandparents.
Yeah.
Then your parents. That's 3 generations. Then you. You're the 4th generation.
Fourth generation.
Then you got your children. That's 5 generations. Then you got your grandchildren. I happen to know your grandchildren.
Yeah.
That's 6 generations. And then now I've got my great-grandchildren. Ailee and KK and Judea, they're my great-grandchildren. So I have known 7 generations. Now, the 10 generations, the Bible says there were 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. And these 10 generations witnessed some things. One of the worst things that they witnessed was the rebellion of the nations. Those nations were born from the 3 sons of Noah, and I mean to tell you, they started rebelling. And less than 400 years after the flood, God spoke to Abram on a one-to-one basis and told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Why did he have to leave Ur of the Chaldees? Ur of the Chaldees is really the region that sprang up out of Iran. But I want us to go back here to here in Genesis chapter 11. Glory to God. And we're gonna read about Genesis chapter 11. Yeah, that's right. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Now, what did God tell him to do? Genesis 9, he told him, fill the earth. If you're going to fill the earth, you're going to have to go about in the earth. But they didn't go about in the earth. Here we have got 340 years after the flood, we've got them all in one place. They didn't obey God. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Shinar in the Bible is Babylon. And they dwelt there. All of them clumped up together and stayed together. Even God told them to go throughout the earth. This is 340 years after the flood.
And they're still all together.
And they're still all together.
Now, where are you reading right now?
This is chapter 11 of Genesis.
Chapter 11.
Chapter 11, verse 1.
Okay.
And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And verse 4, they said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. What did God want them to do? Be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.
So they're going to try to avoid that.
They're going to avoid it.
Nothing ever changes, does it?
And they're going to build them a tower. And then in case there's ever another flood,
what God says do, natural man just naturally wants to do something different.
Absolutely. Absolutely wants to do something else. Bless the Lord. And so we find here, bless the Lord, I've lost some of my well thought out notes. I may have to borrow yours again. Bless the
Lord.
What
page would you like?
But right now, here we are on Genesis chapter 11. And they're rebelling. And you know God goes down. You know the story. He goes down and he has to separate them from each other. Because he said, nothing will be, they're speaking Hebrew. They're all speaking Hebrew, the language that the world was created in. And if they're all in unity and they're speaking that creative language, then they could do anything, he said.
Yeah, all things are possible.
Yeah, so he divided their language. Now, they had rebelled against God, but they rebelled against God because someone tempted them to do so.
Wonder who.
Yeah, wonder who. So let's go and find out who that was. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 8. Now, from the line of Ham, one of his offspring is named Cush. And here we find in verse 8, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Carnay in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and built Nineveh.
Now, do you have in your margin that Babel is Nimrod? No, it's Babylon?
Yeah, Babylon. So, Cush begat Nimrod, one of his sons. And it says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, I'm going to read to you what the Chumash says. Now, I've told you about the Chumash. It's the first five books of the Bible. Then it has the commentaries on it. Here is their commentary. Before Nimrod, there were neither wars nor reigning monarchs. It says he had a kingdom. He wasn't supposed to be having any kingdom. Before Nimrod, there were neither wars nor reigning monarchs. He subjugated the Babylonians until they crowned him, after which he went to Assyria and built great cities. The Torah calls him a mighty hunter, which most commentators interpret figuratively. Nimrod ensnared men with his words. And he hunted men, hunted the souls of men, like Satan does. He ensnared men with his words and incited them to rebel against God. His first conquest, which laid the basis for his subsequent empire building, was Babel, which became the center of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian Empire and one of the greatest cities in the world. Now, it says here that Nimrod, he built cities, and it's going to eventually get down to, it says, Asher built Nineveh. Now, this comes from the Wikipedia. Nineveh is first mentioned in Genesis 10. It says Asher left that land and built Nineveh. But modern translations interpret Asher in the Hebrew as Assyria rather than a person, thus making Nimrod rather than Asher the founder of Nineveh. So here we have Nimrod over here. He's tempting the people. He's going out. He's hunting their souls. And he makes himself a kingdom. And he starts to build cities. And it says that he was the founder of Nineveh. Now, we're talking about Bible prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the Wikipedia online.
Where are you on what page?
I'm on page three.
Three.
Yeah, I'm on page three somewhere here.
Okay, I got it.
And it says, I think that's the wrong three. I think it's, nope.
It's
it might be.
Three.
Yeah, turn to this three. See what's on that three.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
There it is. I see it.
You see it? You see it down there? Do you see where it says Nineveh?
Yep.
Right Wikipedia?
Here. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So here we have Nimrod over here. He's building cities. He's making himself a kingdom. He eventually makes a city named Nineveh. This is Wikipedia. Nineveh equals Mosul. Mosul. You'll find Mosul in the news today, M-O-S-U-L. By far, the greatest threat to Nineveh has been purposeful human action by ISIL, which occupied that area in mid-2010s. ISIL occupied Nineveh. In early 2015, they announced their intention to destroy the walls of Nineveh if the Iraqis try to liberate the city. And they threatened to destroy artifacts, which they did. On February 26th, they destroyed artifacts and statues in the Mosul Museum and plundered other things and sold them overseas. The items
ISIL did that.
ISIL did that. Where did they do that? They did it in one of Nimrod's cities. Nineveh is Mosul. So what did Peter tell to us? He said to us, if you want to have a light in the last days, then you're going to have that light through the Old Testament prophets. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if anybody knows in the news media to get it over to you that we're talking Mosul, which ISIL took over and destroyed the ancient things there, artifacts. We're talking Nimrod and the rebellion of the nations. Going back to that part, Jesus told us to watch the nations. For when they shoot forth into the prophetic places, the only place we can watch them is in the scriptures. So in only 10 generations with the adversary, it was Satan tempting Nimrod all the way. He tempted Nimrod, and Nimrod convinces vast numbers of people and becomes a kingdom. Mm-mm-mm. And they came up with the Tower of Babel. So we're watching the nations like Jesus told us to. We're watching Iran, and you see there Mosul, which is in Iraq. And we see that the Bible is right up to date.
Yeah,
and that's the only place you're going to know.
A lot of action around
a lot of
places.
Action. See, Jesus said when they get stirred up and they're shooting forth, I'm coming.
Ooh, come Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right, action.
Wow, praise God. That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty exciting.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.